officially welcome you to CORE Volunteer Training, which is a program of the Citizens Climate Lobby created to help our supporters, especially our new and newer supporters and our emerging group leaders, to explore foundational topics around climate advocacy. And this week, I'm very excited to present on the idea of preventing burnout as a climate advocate. I'm your host, Tamara Staton, CCL's Education and Resilience Coordinator. I also get to be our regional coordinator, and I'm so glad that you've joined us this evening. We definitely cannot do this work without you. So, but you do you, whatever. I'm going to be doing me here over here. I'm going to be doing me over here. Anyway, here we go. Let's do this. So on the flip side of climate anxiety and grief is love. I personally love oak trees. I love deep rock-lined basalt canyons like the one you see in the picture. I love sitting around a fire in the middle of the high desert sage, finding Orion in the dark night sky. And it is this love of the wilderness that drives my work on climate change. In many ways, I feel like I found my dream job in CCL. In my education role, I get to train volunteer advocates how to use their voice and how their voice and their actions can create positive change. And on the resilience side, I get to help volunteers stay strong and steady in the important climate work that they do. And I also love being able to support volunteers in the greater Pacific Northwest region in all of those areas. So this is my favorite workshop to lead. And while I come from a place of passion for what I love, I also think it might be helpful for you to know that in my 11 years, maybe 12 by now, of focused climate work, I have felt burned out on numerous occasions. At one point, I was leading the CCL Portland chapter and coordinating the region as volunteer. And I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore. I wanted to quit it all. And I felt overwhelmed and tired, and I felt like it was all on my shoulders. While I knew I needed a break, I was reluctant to step back, afraid of the hole that I would leave if I did. And this workshop allows me to share some of my experience of navigating and overcoming burnout in hopes of helping you to do the same. So what are we doing tonight? Our intent with this training is to leave you with some tools and perspectives that can help you prevent or navigate burnout. We'll start by exploring the general causes of burnout and the warnings, some warning signs, and then we'll explore ideas and a few hands-on practices for preventing burnout, specifically addressing the positive relationship between burnout and resilience. And then we'll talk about an idea that I like to call climateering and take some time to workshop through a few ideas. So maybe you came to this webinar tonight because you felt a connection to the topic, or maybe you're attending simply because it's on the schedule for the Climate Advocacy Certificate Program. Either way, climate change is a heavy topic for a lot of us, and it's been a long, slow road for many people. The long road to the Inflation Reduction Act, getting that passed, awaiting introduction of important bills, divided Congress and society, economic crisis on top of an enduring global pandemic that keeps morphing. And it's an election year. And that doesn't even count like all the things in your own life that are big and feel like it's just everything, right? So it's a lot. So while I'm not gonna say that you should be burned out, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that were true. But regardless of where you're at, however you're feeling, I'm glad you're here. So according to the Australian Psychological Society, burnout is a result of stress accumulated over a long-term involvement in situations that are emotionally demanding. Burnout can be caused by a combination of enduring situational stressors, high expectations, and feelings of pressure. And there are a number of aspects of the work that we do to address climate change that can make us more vulnerable to burning out, including an awareness of the complexity and global nature of climate change, a deep sense of urgency and overwhelm by the issue itself. We carry this burden of knowledge that humanity needs to take action, and we know what the consequences are going to be, or very likely going to be, if we don't. We have this unrelenting commitment to make a difference, and there's also this slow pace of progress that we tend to see in part based on negativity bias. We notice the things that aren't going well in the world based on how our brain is wired. And we work against resistance, a lot of us, against those who seem to be more motivated by issues and values that keep us from implementing big, effective solutions. So it can be tempting for many of us as committed climate advocates to push harder and ignore warning signs of burnout. There simply isn't time or opportunity to take a break or give up, right? But here's the deal. Awareness is often our first step to making big, positive, and productive changes in our lives and our work. So I'm going to ask you to share in the chat some of your ideas for signs of burnout. So these might be signs that you've experienced yourself. They might be signs that you just think could be signs of burnout, just sort of from a philosophical, like, I think that could be a sign of burnout. Or maybe you've seen people in your lives, your friends, your family members, your colleagues, who seem kind of burned out, and you can sort of pinpoint that thing. And so that's what I'm inviting you to share in the chat just for a few moments. And then let's look at this and see what you're thinking about. So we've got over or under eating, not sleeping, pulling away from others, drained social battery. I like that term. It's a good one. Becoming sick with stress, hopelessness, depression, exhaustion, overeating, irritability, overwhelm, anxiety, losing sleep, procrastination, poor time management. I feel like I shouldn't even read this list out loud because it's kind of overwhelming and depressing, isn't it? So there's, you guys are hitting it right on the head, procrastinating, like overly procrastinating, not wanting to talk to anyone, avoiding social situations. Yeah, so burnout is pretty obvious to a lot of us. And not to say that for those of you for whom this is new, have anything wrong with you. You're totally good too. But I want to highlight these four categories of burnout, because I think that can be a good way to think about them. So emotionally, the way that we feel, we might get upset over the little things. We might feel guilty for enjoying our life or for even just resting, or we might feel just this increased sense of hopelessness, or maybe just hopelessness at all. Maybe that's not a feeling that you're used to. Cognitive signs. So mentally, we might struggle to make decisions. We might struggle to focus. We might just generally be more negative than we normally feel, and we have a hard time connecting to our sense of purpose, and maybe we're low on energy. Behaviorally, what do we actually do? We might struggle to balance work and family and play and hobbies. Maybe we work a ton. Maybe we don't work at all. I definitely feel that sometimes. Like, I don't feel like working. I just want to do my own thing. Difficulty getting up in the mornings, becoming accident prone, stubbing your toe on stuff that you normally don't stub your toe on. And then physiological. So, like on a cellular level, what's actually happening inside your body is just this general sense of running on empty. You might feel muscle tension. Like, I notice I feel it in my shoulders are super tight, or like in here, like there's this band around my top of my head sometimes. Headaches, which I get if I'm not really careful about the how I relieve my stress. Tiredness, backaches, all the things. So what can we do to actually prevent personal climate burnout? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about right now. So I like to explore the positive relationship between burnout and resilience, specifically considering the idea of deepening or strengthening our personal resilience as one of the key ways to keep ourselves from burning out. It might seem kind of obvious, but I like to just lay things out really simply. But let's first be clear on what resilience is, because it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. One of my favorite definitions of resilience is actually from the Bounce Back Project, and they talk about being able to move through the stress. It's not about avoiding the stress, but it's about being able to be present with it and moving through it. At Citizens Climate Lobby, we have a working definition of resilience, which we crafted from a multitude of sources and reflects aspects of resilience that feel most important to us as committed climate advocates, which is what you see on the screen. So resilience helps us stay the course through the highs and the lows and bounce forward from challenges. We live in a world of ups and downs. We're never going to change that. That's just the way it is. But how can we manage those ups and downs so that we're actually bouncing forward, making progress from a place and dealing with those realities of life. So there are so many approaches to building resilience. And so for me, I like to have a structure to help me walk through the process, but it's important to keep in mind that this is not the only way. But this is a structure that I came up with that encapsulated all of my experience with building resilience over the years. So I have five steps, as you can see here. The first step is to notice. We're going to go into detail on all of these in just a few moments. The second step is to accept. Notice what you're feeling or experiencing. The second step is to accept what you're noticing and feel it and ex Let me see if I can talk. Accept what you are feeling and experiencing without judgment. Seek help and build community around the things that are hardest for you to navigate, and practice. This is a big one, and like I said, we're going to go into all of these. And the fifth one is repeat, which I'm at now calling rest and repeat, which I will go into detail shortly. So let's start with this first step. Take a closer look. So step one is to notice what you're needing and feeling right now, and make this a regular thing to check in with yourself about. So, in the name of practicing, in the name of actually workshopping some of these, I invite you right now to share in the chat three words or phrases that reflect your state of being right now. Or, okay, so thank you for sharing authentically here, if you were interested in doing so. There's some people might call positive feelings. I don't know if that's a really accurate term, but hopeful, busy is, I guess, is curious, hopeful. And then there's obviously a lot of overwhelming, what we might feel term overwhelming emotions. There's some invigorated. So yeah, there's that. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to do a little experiment, which will provide another opportunity for you to notice. I'm going to play about a minute of a percussion clip. And I'm going to stand while I lead us through some simple stretches. And if you would like to, you can follow my lead. You can sit, you can stand, you can leave your camera on, you can turn it off. Doesn't really matter to me. And follow my lead to the extent that you're comfortable. If you want to turn your camera off and rock out, which is probably what I wish I could be doing, but that would be kind of weird for a lot of you, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to stretch. But yeah, get into the groove as much as you feel like it, and feel free to turn your music up or down. And yeah, let me set myself up here. Stand up and get ready to push play. And Debbie, give me a thumbs up that sound is all good, okay? When you can hear this. No? Thank you for participating and playing along if that worked for you. So let me make sure that I don't. Come on, little guy. There we go. All right. So another opportunity to notice. What do you notice about you right now? About your body sensations, about your emotions, about your thoughts? Did anything shift from how you felt 2 minutes ago when I first invited you to share in the chat? And to the extent that you're comfortable, go ahead and drop some words in the chat right now that represent how you're feeling, how you're doing. Could be physically, could be emotionally, mentally. And let's see, I feel more relaxed. I am going to read these out loud. Encouraged, calmer, more relaxed. I was really tight and I didn't realize it. Me neither. Energized, more elastic. Ooh, that's a good word. Pumped, more relaxed, hopeful, a lot more attention to how stressed my body is. Nice. Good noticing. Calm, much more awake, encouraged, energy, loosened up, dancy. Yeah, Amber, excited. All right. And I just want to. I do this experiment every time I'm nervous that it's not going to work out. And every single time I do this, it totally works out where it's just pretty amazing that 1 minute, that was a 1 minute clip. And like, look at the change that happened. So, just a reminder that it doesn't have to take long, it doesn't have to be rocket science, but a little shift in your mood can actually go a really long way. And it doesn't take much. So, the reason that I like to do this experiment. This practice is because turning on the limbic system, like music turns on the limbic system and it helps us remember what we're learning by creating longer lasting and stickier connections between the parts of our brain that we want to associate with each other. So not only can it improve our mood, but it can actually help us remember things. For those of you who are in college and you need to study and remember things, this is a really good thing to remember. And movement, particularly mindful movement, when you are really present with how you are moving, can help us connect to and learn from and lean on our bodies. Most of us tend to lead with our heads. Like I remember there was a comment in the chat that said, I didn't realize how tight I was, right? Because most of us are doing this thing all day long. We're just thinking and processing and talking and doing all the things here, thinking. But getting into our body really, really makes a huge difference. So, Isabella is going to drop into the chat the first step to personal climate resilience video if you want to watch that later on your own time. But we are actually going to move on to the second step for deepening resilience, which is acceptance. Acceptance can also help you deepen your ability to notice and accepting that what you need is what you need and that circumstances are as they are, at least for now. And doing this helps us to be more present to and move through our experiences with more complexity. So, this makes it easier in those circumstances when we'd like to make space for different feelings or needs. Right now, we are who we are, and we respond as we do to our environment. Accepting doesn't mean we have to like our responses or our feelings or our thoughts or our current experiences. It simply acknowledges the current reality as it is right now. And that acknowledgement is the first step to changing that reality if we want to. So, when I better understand who I am and why I respond the way I do, it's easier for me to accept and ultimately make changes in my life. This is a polyvagal chart, and I think that it can help. It has helped me to understand my own responses and reactions to things in the world. And this was created to visually represent our autonomic nervous system. And the automatic response that we have, the automatic response patterns that we have to our environment as mammals. So at the bottom, we're going to start from the bottom and we're going to move up. At the bottom is the place that most of us yearn to be much of the time, the grounded green zone, I like to call it, and what is also officially called the social engagement system. When we're operating in the social engagement system, our nervous system is supporting us to feel calm. And grounded and curious and settled and compassionate and generally at peace. Lots of those adjectives that many of you shared in the chat after we listened to the music. We're inspired to do things like supporting a cause that's meaningful to us, drawing or doing something creative, developing a skill or mastering something, or socially engaging, being there for a loved one. So tap your nose if you're on video or give us a fun emoji reaction in on your little screen, if you want to, or in the chat, if you recognize in your own life this grounded green social engagement zone in your life, if you're like, yeah, I can recognize having been in that spot. Okay. All right. Cool. So moving on to moving up to the yellow zone here. If we get upset by something that we see or hear or think about or experience, we start to move up the chart into the yellow fight or flight zone. And in that space, which surely many of you have heard of fight or flight, we have a whole host of experiences. As we become more stressed, our nervous system becomes more aroused. So this black here, this black line, here's what starts to happen. We go this way. Boop. So we're here. And we detect what it believes, what our nervous system believes to be threats to our safety or our well-being. And in this space, we do things that we think will help us return to that sense of safety in green. So we might do things like trying to prove our point. We might try to blame others. We might, on the flip side, we might try to appease others, like do what we think that they're going to like. We might seek social likes on social media. Sorry, social likes. We might seek likes on social media. We might seek quick successes or quick fixes, like good online deals, or maybe some of you like ice cream as much as I do, or maybe salt is your thing. When I get really obsessed with cleaning my house, or eager to binge watch some shows, or eager to check things off of my list or add them after I've done them, I know I'm in that yellow fight or flight space. So, for those of you on video, wiggle your earlobe with your hand, unless you can do it on your own, right? But wiggle your earlobe with your hand or give us a fun emoji reaction if the fight or flight zone looks familiar to you in your life or even in somebody else's life. You're like, oh, I have definitely seen my dad in that space before, or I've definitely seen my coworker. Okay, awesome. So at some point, things become simply too much for our nervous system to handle and it shuts down. And now in a place of I can't, let me turn this fancy laser pointer on. So notice over here, there's this line between I can and I can't. I've definitely in my mind go to I can't far more often than I wish I did. But our nervous system shuts down, and this is generally a last resort thing, unless you've experienced a decent amount of deep stress or trauma in your life, in which case your system has a tendency to shut down more quickly. And in this freeze space, as we call it, people often feel a sense of helplessness, overwhelm, shame, depression, numbness, like emotionally numb. Some people might feel physically numb, maybe a sense of feeling trapped. And you go from being over aroused here in your sympathetic nervous system. This is the sympathetic nervous system. In that yellow zone to being under aroused, which is ironic because it's at the top of the chart. I know that's kind of confusing, but you are under aroused in this red freeze space or in the parasympathetic nervous system. I don't know if it says that on here, but basically, yeah, we don't need to get into that. Don't worry about the sympathetic zones. Don't want to confuse you. But basically, the red zone up here is a slow, frozen space for a lot of us. So, again, if you want to play along, tap both shoulders if this red frozen space looks familiar to you at all and you can recognize this in your life or in somebody else's life. Okay. So let's see how we're doing on time. I'm just going to invite a couple things to share in the chat to the extent that you feel comfortable sharing. And I promise you, I'm not going to ask you to unmute and explain yourself. Okay. Which of these zones, green, yellow, red, do you find yourself in when you're thinking about the worst effects of climate change? Which zone do you recognize yourself hanging out in when you're thinking about floods, fires, loss of diversity, all the things? Let me open my chat so I can see what y'all are saying. Freeze. All right, freeze. Okay. And again, there's no right answer here. This is like a you question. Yep, some people might be in flight, some people might fight, yellow, red, sympathetic, fight, flight. Yes. Okay, awesome. Okay, next question is, which of these zones do you find yourself in when you are working towards solutions in a community of like-minded people? So when you are in a community working on climate change, perhaps, or maybe you're working on a school project and you're feeling connected to those people, what zone are you in when you are working towards solutions in a community of like-minded people? Okay, lots of green, lots of social engagement. Okay, last question. If you are able to recognize any of your tendencies or common responses in this chart, if you're able to see yourself on this chart, basically, are there any responses that you have that are harder for you to accept or harder for you to make space for? For example, I am not so proud of the fact that I get angry sometimes. So, I don't really, do I make space for anger? Meh, I don't know. Sometimes it comes out on its own. But is there anything that you just feel resistant around? Any particular feeling? And you might not know the answer to this, and you might not feel comfortable sharing, but if there is anything, again, noticing and accepting are the first two steps of building of resilience. Ooh, yeah, shame's a big one. And for those of you who mentioned shame, and even the rest of you, oh gosh, bonus points if you think of her name faster than I am, faster than I can. What's her name? She's written all about shame, and she's blonde, and she's got lots of books. Brené Brown, cat, nailed it. Awesome. Okay. All right. So thank you for playing along. We are going to move on to step three. But one more quick brain science tidbit on the subject of connection with others, since we're going to be talking about step three. I recently learned that when we listen to emotional stories told by other people, as in they are telling us a story that we are engaged by and interested in listening to, the brain releases oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone that helps create trust, empathy, and compassion. And on top of that, extensive neural coupling happens, which means like my brain connects to the brain of the person telling the story, or vice versa. If I'm telling an emotional story and they're listening to me, our brains connect. It's pretty fascinating. So this is just an encouragement to keep emotional stories on the tip of your tongue. Not like sob stories, right? But like actually authentic stories that you can share with people. And Isabel is going to share that little science tidbit of a chat into the chat. Okay, so let's talk about step three. We are communal beings, and our brains are actually wired to connect with other people. Despite the message that we get from some of our parents or cultures that we're supposed to be able to be independent and tackle things on our own. So when I was younger, my dad ran his own business, and he took pride in not being dependent upon others. And he would often advise me, "Don't work for other people." And he instilled in me this sense of pride for being independent and capable. And that's one of the things that I find so great about CCL, actually, is I tend to feel pretty overwhelmed by climate change. And without the sense of community and support that I get in CCL, I would have given up on climate work many years ago. I'm confident about that. And making friends in the Portland CCL chapter has been wonderful. And it's also given me opportunities to learn how to feel comfortable leading adults. As a volunteer, I was also so impressed at how the CCL staff provided group leaders with group leader calls and regular weekly guidance. I love coming together with a group of people working towards a common goal to reduce emissions through effective legislation. And knowing that I'm part of something bigger helps me not only feel less alone, but also more effective. So I love that we have action teams and leadership teams and lobby teams, lots of teams where people can come together. And it's like we just talked about, like when I asked you, where do you find yourself when you are working in a team? And it's that green zone. So that's one of the great things about CCL, is it helps us manage our nervous systems. So question for you. What communities, CCL or otherwise, do you have in your life right now that could support you? And these communities are maybe communities that are already supporting you. Like maybe these are groups that you go to or groups that you gather with on a regular basis. Or maybe they are groups or communities that you know that they're there, but you don't necessarily lean on them. Or maybe you're not attending, or maybe you're not connecting with these people or this group. So any community that either could support you or is supporting you. And again, this is just an opportunity for you to begin to consider a step three in your own life. Like, where could you branch out? What could you do for step three to expand step three in your own life? My team, my major department at school, every student, wow, awesome. Partner and close friends, talking with professors, sustainability club, friends back at home, awesome. So just keep in mind that community is there. And I think that sometimes it's really easy to lean on community when things are going great. Like it's easy to pick up the phone and tell our friends how awesome life is. Sometimes it's harder to pick up the phone. Sorry, I know some people don't like to talk on the phone. So chat people up, whatever it is, social media, and share the things aren't going so well. Just remember to that your community is there in sickness and in health. All right, so where are we? Okay, so where was I? I also just wanted to share real quick that there was this study that was done recently that suggests that online faces, the faces that we are all looking at right now, don't actually engage the social parts of our brain as much as they get engaged when we're in person with people. So, again, an opportunity to reflect on your life. Are there opportunities that you could create? Are some of your communities online? Are all of your communities online? Are there things that you prefer to do online because it's kind of easier? And is there anything that would feel like, I could actually go in person to that thing, but I don't feel like driving. Maybe it might be worth it to drive or bike or whatever, take the bus, whatever. Isabella's going to drop that link in the chat from Neuroscience News, should you be interested in knowing about that. Okay, we're gonna move on to step four. Let's talk about practice. This is actually my favorite step. Step four is really about making a habit of doing the things that support you. Practice can look like all sorts of different things for different people. But what I love about this step is that it's our chance to lean into our passion and let our creativity shine. Even if we're not feeling creative, it's still a potential option. It's our chance to integrate a sense of playfulness and joy into what really matters, climate action included. So I use the word practice for a few reasons. First of all, the idea of practice conveys this idea that we don't have to get it right ever, really, but especially the first few times. We're learning how to do it. We are taking action, we are making mistakes, and we are learning. And the idea of practice can also convey this idea of action and regularity. And that's the key here. Practice meeting your needs with intention regularly. I like to highlight the importance of practice because it not only helps us move back into that grounded green social engagement zone from the yellow and red, but it actually helps us widen the green zone. Like in that chart, the green and the yellow and the red zone, they were all the same height. But when you practice, when you are intentional about the practices that you do, the green zone actually gets wider. It's also called the window of tolerance. Which I'm going to share a quote about. So that's one of the beautiful things about practice. So there's a woman, her name is Elizabeth Stanley, and she has this fantastic book called Widen the Window, which she's referring to the window of tolerance or the social engagement zone. Rewiring, here's what she says, rewiring the brain and body to improve our performance and build resilience requires an integrated training regimen and consistent practice over time. Just as muscle growth and improved cardiovascular functioning requires months of consistent physical exercise. So, how do you practice? There are so many practices that we can integrate into our lives that help us become more resilient and prevent burnout. We've done a number of these things here tonight, like identifying and making space for authentic feelings, personalizing new information, sharing in community, so that we know that we're not alone in these feelings and thoughts. But how do we really hone our actions and our practices in a way that helps us stay resilient? So my favorite approach is what I like to call climateering. When I was a kid, there was this super hokey TV show called The Mouseketeers. Has anybody heard of this? Anybody know what The Mouseketeers is? Hosted by Annette Funicello, and a bunch of kids ran around and then sat in a circle, proudly donning these Mickey Mouse ears. I used to have the Mickey Mouse ears on my desk, but they must have gotten moved to closet. It sounds like Miley Cyrus and Ariana Grande are more recent Mouseketeer representatives. And then Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears were also Mouseketeers. But here's the point. When you combine climate change, a very serious topic for most of us, with the very lighthearted concept of a climateer, sorry, you get of a Mouseketeer, you get a climateer. Someone who deeply who is deeply concerned about climate change, who infuses a playful spirit into their climate perspective and approach. A climateer does their very best to enjoy the process of what matters so deeply. So, how do you actually climateer? Here's the way I see it. It's not enough to just do what we should. We only do what we should that leads to burnout. It's also not enough to just do what we love. I think that's obvious. Too much sugar, too much fossil fuels, too much exercise. We need balance, right? It's also not so helpful to do just some things sometimes if you're going for change. The power of practice and habit and consistency leads to change, even just like from a neural pathway standpoint. You need to do things repeatedly. It's the whole 40,000 hours makes a master. And why save all the fun for only climate and our personal lives? How about both? So here is my equation, even though I'm not a math person, for integrating climateering into your practices. So the practices that we form or the actions that we choose to take are a fantastic space for us to integrate climateering into our lives. And in this way, we can be intentional about infusing a playful spirit into our climate concerns by blending joy and responsibility. So what are the things that we love and what are the things that we feel like we should do? We can blend those two things into foundation and focus practices. What is a foundation practice? A foundation practice is something that you do. It's like a base note. It's like something that you do on a regular basis. I know that there are some of you on this call who do strength training. You're not going to build your biceps if you have one strength training session for your biceps, one a month or one a year. Definitely not going to happen, right? So a foundation practice would be like working out 3 days a week. A focus practice would be a practice that you might do, like you're in a really bad mood. And so you're going to put your favorite song on for 3 minutes, just randomly. That would be a focus practice. So you want to blend your joy and your responsibility into foundation and focus practices in not just your personal life. Yeah, do it in your personal life, but also in your climate action. So what might this look like? We're going to spend a few minutes workshopping this before we move on to step five and then wrap things up for the evening. So, blending joy. So first, we're going to break these things down. And to the extent that you're comfortable, you can share this in the chat. There's also a worksheet that I made for you that Isabella will drop into the chat. So you can print it out or put it on your phone or whatever, and you can work on it if and when you feel like it. It's called How to Become a Resilient Climateer. So blending joy, what do you love? This is my question for you in the chat. What do you love? What brings you joy? And I'm not talking about climate right now. I'm just talking about what do you love? Do you love being with people? Do you love being outside? Okay, my cat, you got it. Art, talking to people, my partner, my dog, my family, my friends, running, hiking, being in nature, food. Yes, Sarah, I love food too. Socializing, live music, plants, dance, being outside, healthy environment, my dog. I love my dog too. Art, being in the mountains. Yes, people listening to me. I love that too. I love hanging out with my friends, agreed, family, cat, nature, music. Yes. Obviously, not all those things that you're going to love, but tuning into the things that you love that brings you joy and not forgetting that because life's full and climate change is stressful. We can't forget about the things that we love. Okay. All right. So here's the next question that I have for you. Blending joy with responsibility. What do you know to do? In other words, what do you feel like there's this little person on your shoulder and they're like, you should do this. You really should do this. What types of practices would help you or benefit you? Or what kind of obligations do you feel like you have in the world, in your life, or to other people? So, I don't know, Simon, if you feel like you should exercise. I'm thinking that's still a joy thing, but there it is. There's keep to a consistent schedule. So Simon feels like he should keep to a consistent schedule. What do you feel like you should do? Like it would be good for you, or it would be good for other people, or it would be good for the world. There's this responsibility that you feel like you have to you or your life or other people or to the world. Okay, so working hard. being kind. That's a good one. Yeah. Working hard, gaining skills, doing things on time, not procrastinating, reducing my screen time, being kind, exercise, getting sleep, spending time with good friends, leading climate action. So some of these things, like spending time with friends, can land in the joy pile, in the joy category, and the responsibility space. So it's a matter of like, sometimes it's a matter of like differentiating. Am I doing this because I feel like I should? Or am I doing this because I love this? So sometimes that's important to differentiate. Academics, being an older, good older sister. Nice. Better myself. Okay. You guys have got it. So let's see. I'll ask you one more question here. We're going to move into this foundation practice concept. What could you do, or maybe you're already doing something that you think you could continue doing on a regular basis to support you, like a base note, something that if I did this on a regular basis, or if I keep doing this on a regular basis, it will be good for me. I will feel better, sleep better, do better, whatever it is. What could you do or continue doing on a regular basis to support you or your life? Okay. Journaling, eating better, going to meetings, reading. Oh, yeah, reading. So hard I find to read now that my phone just like, look at me. Look at me. Don't read this book. Just look at your phone. Keep a journal. Drink more water. Agreed. Meditating, creating. So, again, some of these things are going to fall in the love category, and some of them are going to fall in the responsibility category and in the foundation practice. So, there's overlap. So, if this feels helpful to you, this process, again, you can print out that. I would recommend that you print out that how to become a resilient climateer. You write the answers out with your hand, because then you're actually integrating your left and right brain when you use your hand to write things, and put it on your wall and your computer as a reminder, like, oh yeah, these are the things that I could do. These are the focus practices that I could have. These are the personal practices that I could do. These are the climate actions to like pull it all together. Okay, step five. Rest and repeat. I used to call this step repeat, rinse and repeat, actually. It was my original name for it. But I recently added the concept of rest to remind us that it's not always about doing or taking action. I know there's that quote, action is the antidote to despair. But what happens when you don't feel like acting? Then what? What happens when you're too tired or overwhelmed or in the red zone to act? Then what? How do we do it? So it's also important for us to take time to slow down and do nothing sometimes and evaluate what we might want to change about the other four steps. So as humans, we are creatures of habit. As much as some of us love to mix things up, we are also creatures of habit, and we benefit from some level of structure. There's all sorts of brain research around the benefits of structure and consistency. And at the same time, our brains are highly attuned to variation when things are different. If you have the same note on your computer, you stop seeing it. You stop noticing it. So moving the note around, for example. So while you may have a system in place that's working for a while, just like a physical workout structure, there's great benefit to assessing and making changes from time to time. So in the name of resting and taking some space, I invite you to join me in slowing down before we wrap things up for this workshop. And we're just gonna do some intentional breathing, and I'm gonna walk you through it if you would like to, or you can turn your camera and your sound off right now and do it on your own. So I think it's helpful to notice that breath is shockingly simple and quick, just like that 1 minute music thing. And the benefits are immense. So if you'd like to join me, we are going to do a practice that is called progression breathing, and it works like this. You breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold for 6 seconds, and then you breathe out to the count of eight, and then you do it again for about four times if you are on your own. We're going to do it twice, two sessions or two rounds. And this process, specifically the longer out breaths, the eight count, which is longer than the four count, the in count, it goes four, hold, six, out, eight. That actually activates that parasympathetic nervous system, or that system that gets us into the green zone. So without even needing to figure out like what practice to do, you can just breathe, and you can breathe out longer. And it slows you down. It brings you out of the yellow or even out of the red. So if you want to try it, I will count aloud for one round, and then I will count silently on my fingers for the second round, and you can feel free to shift the timing so that it works for you. Okay, so if you want to do this, go ahead and just get comfortable. You already know how to breathe, but I'm just going to slow you, help slow you down. All right, so here we go. You breathe in for one, two, three, four. Hold for six, five, four, three, two, one. You breathe out for eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. In for hold. Out. Okay, so go ahead and take a couple deep breaths. If you were doing that on your own, I would recommend that you do it from a couple more rounds. The beautiful thing about breathing is that you do it all the time and that nobody knows that you're doing anything different, and it's shockingly intentional. Breathing is really, really helpful. Some people also like to do what's called box breathing. I like the visual of box breathing. You breathe in for four. I always see the in breath going up, in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four, and you can just keep going for as long as you want to, really. So, yeah, let's wrap things up so we can get you on your merry way. How to become a resilient climateer, just in a nutshell, again, as a reminder, build resilience in five steps. Notice, accept, seek support and community, practice, and rest and repeat. And infuse a playful spirit into your climate concerns by blending joy and responsibility into foundation and focus practices in your personal life and your climate actions. So I'm going to end before we get to like the administrative end where I tell you how to like log your training and share resources. I'm going to end with my favorite quote. Isabel's going to drop the video, the fifth step to the personal climate resilience, in the chat right now. But this is my favorite quote by Edward Abbey. And it goes like this. One final paragraph of advice. Do not burn yourselves out. Be as I am, a part-time crusader, a half-hearted fanatic. Save the other half of yourselves and your lives for pleasure and adventure. It is not enough to fight for the land. It is even more important to enjoy it while you can, while it's still here. So get out there and hunt and fish and mess about with your friends. Ramble out yonder and explore the forests, climb the mountains, bag the peaks, run the rivers, breathe deep of that yet sweet and lucid air, sit quietly for a while and contemplate the precious stillness, the lovely, mysterious, and awesome space. Enjoy yourselves. Keep your brain in your head and your head firmly attached to your body, the body active and alive. And I promise you this much. I promise you this one sweet victory over our enemies, over those desk-bound men and women with their hearts in the safe deposit box and their eyes hypnotized by desk calculators. I promise you this much. You will outlive all of them. And with that, if we have any questions or comments, we don't have a lot of time for them. And you don't actually have to speak to these questions, but if you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, feel free to drop it in the chat, unmute, and share. And we'll see if there's any of that before I take us through to our resources section. Future reference, you can click any of the green buttons in training in community or the log your training section on the interactive trainings, or you can go through the action tracker and whoops, sorry, go to the chapter and volunteer development and then just start typing the first four letters of the name of the training and it will come right up. And with that, I took you a minute over, but thank you so much, everybody, for being here. Like I said, feel free to share in our new resilience forums. The hub is here. forums will get you faster responses, but you can also email me. So I will stop our share. Feel free to unmute and say goodnight if you would like to. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all the work you're doing. The good work
Thank
in the
you.
World. Nice to be with you all. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well.
And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.